Good to have everybody here this morning. This morning, something that God just continuously pressed on my heart here today that I wanted to share with you. Aren't you thankful that we're not defined by our failures in God's eyes? I woke up with that, and it's just stayed with me. And went to a portion of Scripture that I wanted to share with you this morning. It's very familiar out of 2 Corinthians 5. Beginning in verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Aren't you glad we're new in Jesus Christ? We don't have to go back to what we once were and who we once were, because Christ has made us a new creature, a new creation in his sight. You know, the reality is we're going to face a lot of difficulties in this world, and we're going to look at that here this morning. And perhaps there's some of you who are facing some of those things. I want you to understand that there's power and there's victory through Jesus Christ alone. So let's just come before him thankful for what he has done and thankful for what he's going to continue to do. And just in the privacy of your own heart, if you would go before the Lord in prayer and align your heart with his. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your victory and for your power. I thank you, God, that through you, I can face tomorrow. And God, even in the midst of my weaknesses and my failures and my stumblings and my trials, that's not what defines me in your eyes. It doesn't mean that we become complacent towards sin. We certainly don't compromise the truth of God. But Father, we thank you and we praise you that you see us through the lens of eternity, your eternal grace and mercy and love and compassion and forgiveness. Thank you that we're not defined by our faults and our failures and our weaknesses, but God, when we are weak, then you are strong. So may we rest fully and completely upon you here today. There's one who is discouraged or struggling, oh God, I pray that they would learn that their identity is in Jesus Christ as one of your children, if they have proclaimed you as Lord, if they have accepted you as their Savior. We ask now that your Spirit would just completely consume us here in this place. God, shake us awake. Shake the dust of apathy off of our soul and our hearts and our minds, God. And maybe we be awakened and set aflame for the cause of Jesus in our own life, in our homes, in our marriages, in our church, and in our community. May we be glorified today, exalted today alone, for this is your church and we are your people. Have free reign as you see fit here in the lives of everyone. In the name of King Jesus, we pray this for your glory alone. Amen.
Good morning. This past week, I had the opportunity to go on a road trip with our kids, and we went south, hoping for warm weather, which we didn't really find, but we drove about 2,000 miles and made a lot of stops along the way and spent the most amount of time with my sister and her husband and family. They live in Fayetteville, and one of the things we got to be a part of while we're down there, they're planting a church, and it meets in their house, and this was their first service, their kind of launch service in their house, so we got to be a part of that. And I felt like God really showed me something that day that I wanted to share with you guys this morning. It was very different from my typical worship experience here with you guys on Sunday mornings. And there were about 20 of us, and we were sitting on chairs in a living room. So it was a totally different setting. We were streaming the worship from their larger church onto the TV, which, of course, didn't work right. And so then we had to look up a YouTube video to do worship. Technology is the same everywhere. And I was surrounded by people I mostly didn't know. Fayetteville's kind of a rough area where they are, and to add to that a little bit, my brother-in-law and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of different things, from theology to how we would do a worship service to parenting and different things, and a lot of that was clouding me that morning. I was focused on those things, and it was hard for me to get my heart in a place that was ready to worship that morning, and I felt God speaking to me that I needed to push all those issues that were really non-issues aside. There's definitely a time and a place to discuss some of those things, and we did some talking on Monday, not on Sunday. But in that moment, when we were coming together for corporate worship, the focus needed to be on Jesus Christ and on who he is, and I was able to focus my mind on things we did agree on, like salvation through Christ alone, and that we are here to share that gospel message with those around us, and he's doing it differently than I would do it, but that was his main purpose. And when I was able to focus on those things and on the things that unify us in the Holy Spirit that we share, I was able to enjoy a beautiful worship time with the believers that were around me. On the way home, I was listening to a CD, and one of the lines from the song kind of put an exclamation point on this for me. And it said, "On the altar of my praise, let there be no other name than Jesus, Son of God." And I know we could all paint a different picture of what our ideal worship setting would be, and it looks very different for some of us. But this morning, I just wanted to encourage us to set all the stuff aside that can ultimately get in the way of our focus on Jesus and make sure that there's only one name on the altar of our praise this morning. Thanks.
Amen. So we're going to ask everybody to please stand. And we are going to praise and worship the Lord this morning in a song that talks about the fact that the Lord puts himself on higher ground. Amen. Amen. He is our strong tower and our shelter, our lighthouse. Let's praise him and sing Higher Ground.
Still raining. Good morning. Well, it's great having a crowd up here this morning. Some of you know that Terry, my wife, was in the hospital for a couple days. She's home. She's okay. She had a little trouble walking, and turned out we think it was just a dehydration issue. But I'm bringing this up to tell you that she was praying for one of the PCAs, an aide that was working there for her. And it really softened that aide's heart when she prayed for her. Another story is that there's a young woman that works with me who just found out she has MS, and she's in a hospital up in Manchester, and I had called her in the hospital, and I prayed for her. She's not saved, but she's just weeping because I prayed for her. I'm only saying this, that we need to reach out to people like that, especially unbelievers. It really softens their heart when we pray for them. I mean, don't just say, hey, I'll pray for you, and then you go pray somewhere. Pray for them, with them. It really, really opens their heart up, and this young woman was like, just sobbing because somebody said they'll pray for them. So do that. I just encourage us to do that. A few announcements this morning. Quarterly business meeting is today after Sunday school hour. That's for all the church members, so please plan on staying for a few minutes. And then tonight is SNAP, Sunday night at Pastor's. It's going to be here, though, Pastor, right? In the church. So if you haven't signed up, you can still sign up. Plan on coming. It's always a great time of fellowship. Pastor's going to be giving a message on struggles with sin after salvation. And it'll be a great message, as always. So plan on coming to that. And there's always some games and fun time, too. But be here. It's going to be a great time. And Ladies' Spring Bible Study is starting on Monday at 7 o'clock at Jane's. Jane, can you raise your hand? She's praying. Jane Lewis at her house. Becca's going to be leading, I think, right? Becca? Becca's over here. She'll be leading at Fruits of the Spirit. So ladies, sign up for that. And then, Trent, you want to talk about prime time? Prime teens? And then there's a work day on April 22nd, if you look in the back of the bulletin there. And Glenn, can you raise your hand for a second? Glenn Jacobson? There's Glenn. All right. Glenn is going to help lead that activity, but it's cleaning up the front of the church, doing some mulching and planting some bushes and some pruning. And there's a need for some people to help on Friday, the day before. So, again, if you're available, see him. And we'd like to do a lot to get the ground's all spruced up for the spring and summer. And then lastly, on April 14th, we've been announcing this for a couple of weeks now, Roger Boguski is going to be here leading a Seder. If you haven't ever been to one, and probably most of us haven't, it is amazing. Roger did one here probably about 10, 15 years ago, a while back, and it's just absolutely stunning. He is such an expert at leading us through this and what that all and how it all relates to Jesus. And it's just an amazing, amazing time. So put that on your calendar. You shouldn't be anywhere else but here on that Friday night. And it's Good Friday, I think, right? Isn't it, Pastor? That's Good Friday. So it'll be a really great Friday if you come here and be part of that. So please make a note of that and plan on being here. Let's have the ushers come forward. And as they do, let's stand and recite 2 Samuel 22:31 up on the screen. Let's go ahead and do that now. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. 2 Samuel 22:31. And Watson, would you lead us in a prayer?
Our Father and our God, we do thank you as we worship in thy house. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Father, we pray that you bring forth the message from you. Father, we just ask now that you would bless these monies, use them. And Father, we pray that many might hear the gospel, not only here in Clinton, but throughout the world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Able to separate us.
Amen. We're going to ask everybody to stand right now. We're going to praise the Lord in song. Thank you, ladies. His love does make us sing. I love that song. I believe by Chris Brown. It should make all of us sing, not just the ladies in the choir. You know, the song we're going to sing right now is called Everlasting God. And it's an awesome thought to think that Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. You know, I try and get that thought across to the teens because, you know, any of you that are now a little older, maybe married, I'm coming up on the big 5-0, my next birthday, half of it passed, you know what I'm saying? If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have forever with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Forever with Him. He is everlasting. And that you only have one life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. And that's what's important. And He doesn't define us by our failures. Amen. Let's sing Everlasting God.
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. God, you reign forever, our home, our strong deliverer.
Sorrows.
righteous, mighty, holy, awesome, infinite God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. And Lord God, we praise you for this story we just sung about, how you loved us so much that you sent your Son into the world, not to condemn us, but that the world through him and his precious blood might be saved. Lord God, may we not take this for granted. And may we look at things with an eternal perspective, looking unto you in higher ground rather than what's around us. Lord, we praise you. Please use us. Use Pastor as he brings your word this morning. In Jesus' holy, matchless name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
Go ahead and have the deacons come at this time as we prepare to take communion here before our services, or I should say in the middle of our services. It's not before our services. You know, as we look at communion, just kind of want to extend this to everyone here, where we view communion, how we see communion. We have open communion here at the church. What does that mean? It means you don't have to be a member of this church to take communion. You do have to be a member of Christ's body. That is, you have had to accept him as your Lord and Savior and profess him as Lord to partake of that. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And then it tells us to examine, let each man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We leave it up to the discretion of the parents as to the understanding of the children. If they partake of communion, if they've accepted Christ as their Savior, and you're confident of that decision and their understanding of that, well, we invite them to be partakers of that with us. There's really three R's that I look at in communion. It's remembrance, as we just heard the choir sing. We remember you. We remember what you did for us. We remember the price that you had to pay in order for us to obtain eternal life. We remember that it is through you and through you alone that salvation comes. We remember that we are sinful in the eyes of God, but yet you paid a way for that sin. We reflect on what it is that God has done for us, but also upon our own lives. We need to make sure that before, it's not just about salvation, but as Christians, as Christ followers, that we come into Christ's presence and we say, Lord, is there anything in my life that I haven't confessed, that I haven't repented to you? And if he reveals that, then we want to make that right with him before partaking of this sacrifice. And then it's rejoicing. Aren't you glad that we don't stay dead in our sins with God? We rejoice knowing that the price that he paid is once and for all, for one and all. And we rejoice in that. But this morning we come, and I always read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul was actually addressing the Corinthian church because, well, let's just say they had made some mistakes in what they were doing in the Lord's Supper. But he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The book of Isaiah says that by his stripes we are healed. See, the body of Christ was given, took our sacrifice, not just physically, but spiritually. It was that spotless Lamb of God, as John says in John 1:29, that took away the sin of the world. And so we remember, as we take of the bread, what it was that God did by sending his Son to lay down his life on that cross for you and for me. Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body that is given and broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Mark Rash, would you pray for us, please, here this morning?
Father, we thank you for this remembrance that we can have here, given your body, shed in your blood, that we can have forgiveness of sins. Thank you for this blessing that you've given to us in this time we can remember what you did for us.
In the book of Hebrews, it talks repeatedly about the new covenant that God gave to us through his Son. That new covenant, that shed blood, as it says in Isaiah 1:18, is what washes away our sin. It makes us clean. It makes us whole. It makes us pure. You know, I'm reminded of Colossians when Paul says that the handwriting of requirements that was against us, he has wiped those out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, making a public spectacle of the forces of evil and wickedness by triumphing over them in it. That's what the blood of Christ did for you and for me. It makes us clean, it makes us spotless, it makes us whole according to his sacrifice and his holiness. Jesus says he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant. This cup is the new covenant, which is in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Jeff Bohuniak, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?